Broadcasting live from the Loudermilk Center in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Wise Speed Coaching Event. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hi, Linda Frakes here again with the Wise Women Speed Coaching Event. That is a long title. I'm glad to be here and happy to have so many fabulous women and men here, even though it's a women's event. I see a few men hanging around. We are here with two new guests, and I'm so excited because they actually work together. We have a staff member and I was going to say a user, but that's not the right word. Your client, right?
Yes. An entrepreneur, we call us.
Oh, I like that. I like that. First, we have Courtney Lynn. What a beautiful name that is.
Oh, thank you very much.
She works with ACE, which is also Access for Capital, to Capital for Entrepreneurs.
Yes.
That's a long name, too.
It is. That's why we shorten it up to ACE.
I like ACE.
Yes.
You think of ACE, you think of, what is it, the Roadrunner that did the, wasn't that, never mind. You're too young for that.
Oh, no, you know.
I'm not.
And we also have the pleasure of having Robin Santana, who is the president and CEO of R Ventures Medical. Am I getting that right?
Yes, you do.
So, Santana.
Yes, it was by virtue of marriage.
Okay, so no relation to the musical talents, huh?
Do you think I'd be sitting here if I were? No, just kidding.
I don't blame you. So first, why don't we get a little bit of information from Courtney about ACE and what they do. I know that they are sort of at the head of what's happening here tonight, and I'm sort of ashamed to say that I have been in Atlanta for 20 years and I had not heard of your organization, so I want to hear more.
You are not alone, and so we're happy to talk about us. Again, we're Access to Capital for Entrepreneurs, or ACE. We are a small business lending organization. We were founded in the late 90s, early 2000s, so we've been doing loans ever since then. Our president and CEO and founder, Grace Fricks, she really wanted to inject more capital into the Appalachian region of Georgia. And so that's really how this originated. And we have since expanded from those original 10 counties to the northern 68 counties of Georgia, including Fulton, Atlanta metro counties. So we do loans for small business owners. I specialize in loans of $50,000 and below as the underwriter, but we also do have a large lending program where we can help larger businesses with their business needs as well. So we're a 501c3. We are a nonprofit. We've been certified by the Department of Treasury as a community development financial institution. Yeah. And we're also what's known as an SBA intermediary. And we also offer technical assistance to our borrowers, which is how the WISE program originated, and that's Women Investing in Successful Entrepreneurs. Grace was fortunate enough to attend the Clinton Global Initiative, and this was sort of her priority was to get more women in business, more capital. Georgia, as she said at the beginning of the event, is number one for women business owners, but we're number 13 in revenue, and we don't show as many employees. So we're working to fix that with the WISE program to get our women business owners stronger so that we can become number one in the nation.
I like it. So WISE is a division spinoff of ACE? What's the relationship there?
Right. So it's one of our programs. It's just specifically catering towards women, because women oftentimes, you know, you find you can get good advice from other women, and that's sort of what this event is all about. As you've probably noticed, most of our speed coaches are actually women as well.
Nice.
And so we really want, you know, women to find connection with other business owners who are women so that they can learn what are some of the pitfalls? What are some of, you know, the successes that we could mirror so that we can become more successful?
So what type of, or what level, what stage of entrepreneur do you work with typically?
With WISE, we have two separate sort of programs. One works with fledgling entrepreneurs that are just really starting out, getting their business off the ground, and others work with more experienced business owners. And that's the same is true of ACE across the board. We work with startups and existing businesses.
Do you have any limits in terms of profitability or revenue where you say you're too big for the room?
No, we don't really. We try to serve as many people as we can. You know, if you have a lot of money and you want to come to us, we want to help you out. If you have a little, we want to try to make that work as best we can too.
That's fantastic. That's nice to know. So, and I understand from Courtney from PNC Bank, he's on your board, right?
Right.
I met him the other day, and he was saying he used to drive up to
Cleveland.
Blue Ridge, Cleveland.
Yes.
Home of the Cabbage Patch Dolls,
yes,
right?
Yes, Cabbage Patch Kids. They're right down the street from our office, in fact.
So are your offices still there, or have you?
We're headquartered in Cleveland, okay. But we have a satellite office in Decatur.
Okay.
So it's sort of, it's where our Decatur staff, they go in and out. Most of them work out of their home.
Okay.
And then, you know, we've got a few other things in the works where hopefully we'll have a few more office locations coming soon.
Fantastic. All right, so we have one of your clients with us today as well, and I understand that she has benefited from some of the expertise that they have provided over the years. So, Robin, tell us a little bit about your business, if you would.
Well, I founded R Ventures Medical in 1995. I experienced open-heart surgery, which to repair a mitral valve, and at that experience I thought, you know, medical technology is quite amazing, and I would like to be a little bit more involved in how it will impact lives. So I the surgeon told me I might be affected by in future times if maybe use a laser to open up the sternum instead of cutting it open. So I went about founding R Ventures Medical with a focus on learning all I could about surgical laser technology, because I wanted to be one of the first women interested in laser technology in terms of the pre-owned equipment sales. That further developed into our buying all types of equipment from hospitals and selling it, to the point that because of my interest in laser specifically, I sold a lot to mobile providers. And so in 2002, I founded another company, Laser Ventures, in which we provide laser services to all hospital systems with a roll-in, roll-out procedure per case. So the hospitals do not have to buy the equipment, neither do the, they have to maintain staff to operate them. Well, I was fortunate. I wanted to grow the company, and I was able to bring on a partner, sold the business in 2009, stayed on for 5 years to help continue to grow, and now we're in 8 states in the Southeast and have 35 employees. And so it brought me back to my first child of R Ventures Medical, and what I'm trying to do now is to reinvigorate that company, my son working with me, and we work with a lot of different hospitals also, taking their equipment out and marketing it to the aftermarket, so there's a reutilization of the equipment.
Interesting.
So, and ACE, I was fortunate to obtain the loan I needed to actually refinance my traditional bank loan, because I no longer quite fit into the parameters mm-hmm. of traditional banking, because a lot of regulations have changed in banking.
Right.
And I was very blessed to have met ACE and been very pleased with the services, not only from their willingness to, you know, take a look at, you know, what business owners do, but just the support system of functions like this tonight, of being with other women that can give advice, and not only women but men, but you know, I'm very blessed.
It sounds like you are in a very, very unique niche business.
Yes.
Very specific.
It is specific. And what we offer to our accounts is not just the picking up and selling their equipment, mm-hmm. but the managerial aspect related to their process of how they discard items that are no longer needed. And our effort in trying to reutilize them in the aftermarket. So there's plenty of countries in the world that find equipment that's no longer needed in the United States as to be viable new technology.
Interesting. I was just going to ask you the aftermarket. That makes perfect sense that it
yes.
would be overseas, right?
Right. And as hospitals, considering all cost now and the way things are with healthcare, mm-hmm. We've been able to provide a return to them in their capital budgets for equipment they are needing for the newer technologies.
That is fantastic. Yes. They must be very happy when they find you.
Well, yes, and we're very happy to have them and serve as well.
It's great when things work out like
yes,
that,
ma'am,
isn't it?
It's called win-win.
That's right. So speaking about how things work out, how did you find ACE?
Well, actually, my banker referred me to a business broker or a financial broker that knew of ACE.
Okay.
And it was through his efforts that I was introduced. And like I say, I was, you know, blessed to have worked with them. And what I really did appreciate was all the considerations related to, you know, like I said, sometimes the numbers do not always show the story and tell the story. It's often beneficial to explain to someone why this component's happening and what we're trying to do to improve that. And that's what I did appreciate a lot with the underwriting department. And I do commend I won't name any names because I may not be able to, but I was spoken to, you know, both the founder and all that, how great the program is. So
fantastic.
I'm grateful.
That's really exciting.
And I would recommend anyone listening, if you need any help in the area of financing your small business, either a startup and or development and growth, I would recommend that you contact ACE, you know, for help.
Nice. Well, so that brings us back to Courtney. Okay. So what's the criteria if somebody's coming to you looking for money?
I mean, in a sense, we are going to look at the same sorts of things that a bank will look for. We're going to look at your credit. We're going to look at your cash flow. We're going to look at your collateral. But where we strive to be different is exactly as Robin was saying. We try to understand the full picture. You know, you may have had a bad year and you incurred a lot of expenses. That's the only year that's ever going to happen. And so we want to look at that holistically instead of just saying, oh, well, they had a bad year. We're not giving them any capital. So we try to look at all of those things. Of course, all the factors put together will determine the end result, how much money we can lend to you, the terms, the rate, that sort of thing. And we try to offer a little bit of flexibility with our collateral as well, especially on the under 50 side. We prefer, of course, real estate and vehicles, but with under $50,000, we understand that those are going to be more aligned with inventory, equipment, furniture, fixtures, all of those sorts of things, because small business owners probably don't have a lot of major assets because they put everything back into their small business.
Right.
And so, you know, we understand that. That's why we try to work with them to really get to the root of how best we can help them.
So, are you saying that the majority of your loans are collateralized?
Yes.
One way or the other?
Yes. Most of our loans are collateralized in some respect. With our larger deals, of course, we need to make sure that those are a little bit more secure. For many years, we only did loans under $50,000. And so, you know, looking at larger deals, we need to make sure that those are very secure. But under $50,000, we try to work with people as best we can to try to really dig to the root of their assets. A lot of people actually have more than they think, and we try to get that out too when we're talking to them and working with them through the loan process.
So is it a traditional business loan in that it is in the business's name, or is it a personal guarantee as well?
Typically, we require a personal guarantee as well.
Okay.
There are a few rare, very rare instances where we wouldn't require a personal guarantee, but like I said, those are very few and far between. The run of the mill will be that we will require a personal guarantee.
Makes perfect sense. So you are funded in part by the SBA, is that right?
Right, we do. We're an SBA intermediary, which basically means that the SBA lends funds to us that we can lend to our borrowers.
Okay.
Through them, we are also able to offer our technical assistance programs and that sort of thing, but we also receive funding from the USDA, some of our bank partners, private donors. We get funding from a lot of different sources.
So the USDA, that's surprising. Why the USDA?
Right. So we serve, a lot of North Georgia is rural. Mm. And so, you know, especially up in Cleveland where we are,
betcha.
You know, there's a lot of farms and just other people that are involved with, agriculture or just generally homegrown type of stuff. And
right. And
really the USDA is focusing their business lending on rural areas.
Really?
And so while the loans may not go specifically towards farming, it definitely doesn't have to be for farms. It would be to develop counties like White County, where Cleveland's located, or Lumpkin County, or some of those more northern counties.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm sure it's the same in the southern end of the state. We just don't cover that territory. But they really want to focus on growing businesses, locally owned, locally operated, so that they can, you know, put the tax money back in and make local economies thrive.
So is there a criteria of type of business? Is it always a product? Can it be a service? Obviously it's a service because right? I mean, that's...
Right. our businesses run the gamut. We have everything from truckers to day spas to...
Wow.
People that, you know, do large production operations. You know, we really run the gamut with our borrowers.
Interesting. So how do typically how do people find you, the clients that you work with? How do they find you?
Many do come to us from business brokers or from bankers themselves. Fortunately, today there are a lot of bankers who are more interested in the personal relationship that they have with their clients than, you know, in making sure that their bank gets all the credit.
Nice.
And when banks can't do loans, it's nice to have an ace to fall back on, so to speak. And so many of our bank partners do realize that, and that's why they've referred people to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we also often get referrals from local SBA offices, small business development centers throughout the state. So we get varieties. And, of course, our existing customers, as you can tell, are great referral sources, as well as Robin was pitching us earlier, and we appreciate that as well.
Yeah. I'm sure she's quite the advocate.
Oh, definitely. And I'm sales is my what I do, and but I love selling something that's worthy of the sale.
Well, we appreciate that.
And I do refer. I have referred a couple of people that I felt would benefit. What they've done with that information, I don't know, but
right.
you need not worry. When I see an opportunity, I'll let them know.
Well, we appreciate it.
So are your terms user-friendly? Are they market rate? Are they above market rate typically? How's that work?
So typically with our terms, we're going to, you know, try to suit that to your needs. So, of course, with working capital, if you're financing a short-term project, those are going to typically come with shorter terms. Interest rates are going to fluctuate based on the overall qualifications of the loans, and also really just are somewhat defined by our funding sources a little bit too.
Right.
But we're definitely never going to give anybody a loan that we know they can't afford, because that's only going to put them in a worse position than they're already in.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So typically, are you loaning based on need for capital for expansion? For it sounds like, Robin, you might have been involved in a refi of an existing loan. What's the typical?
I that was my situation, but they did. I was able to get some working capital in the loan too.
Great.
So not only did I pay off an existing loan, but was able to capture capital for growth and development as we're moving our business forward.
Fantastic. Very unusual business, Robin. I can honestly tell you I've never heard of anybody in that business, and I think it's really cool when people find a little niche and go after it and pursue it. There are a million ways to make a living.
Yes, yeah, there are. And, you know, I think with entrepreneurship, the hardest part, well, is the risk-taking.
Right.
You know, I think that's what differentiates most entrepreneurs from other businesses or other workers. I mean, we're all workers.
Right, right.
But, you know, people say, well, how can you do that? Well, you know, someone's got to jump in there and try.
Yep.
And, you know, it's better to have tried and say, well, you know, I did my best and didn't work out. Or you just sit there and pray every night and hopefully it will, which has been my case.
You know, a friend of mine years ago wrote a book called We Are All Self-Employed. And I think that that's very true, whether you work for a company or not. And at least if you're an entrepreneur, if you screw up, you know who to blame for it.
Right.
Exactly. You know, that's exactly right. You don't have to go to, you don't have to, well, sometimes you want to find someone to ask, you know, well, what do we do now?
Right.
And, you
know, isn't that the truth?
And
yeah.
And then people that are working get tired of asking for permission for things, but sometimes there's some value in that too.
It's right. So true. I think people think the whole entrepreneurial thing is sexy until they have to lay out a bunch of cash or... take a risk that could put your house on the line, then it's not so sexy anymore.
Right.
Well, not only that, the responsibility, if you have employees, you know, there's a different kind of level of, you know, not just taking care of your family, it's taking care of others, you know, making sure others are secure.
Right, absolutely. And us women are better at that, I think, than the average man is, right?
I think the main difference in women in business is that we stop long enough and take a look at the total picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my experience with working with the men, not only in my life, but in business, that they're sort of looking funnily, like, oh, let's do it this way and look down this line. Well, sometimes you got to stop and look at the whole picture,
right?
And take those things into consideration.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything you do will impact the next step.
Absolutely. So. And I think that comes from the way back when the men were the hunters and gatherers and the...
We had to do everything else
at home.
Women
had to do everything else. That's right. That's still the case, isn't it?
It's still the case.
Except we're hunters and gatherers now, too.
Right. And that's what we find is what we hope is going to be really the crowning achievement of the WISE program,
mm-hmm.
is that women understand, you know, other women.
Right.
And so they're going to know, well, what was it like to own your own business while starting a family? What was
right.
it like to own your own business while putting your children through school?
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, and men face the same things, to a certain
right.
extent, but hearing from a woman's perspective, if you're just starting out, someone that's been through that,
right,
it's good to see that, to come out the other side.
And it's nice to see the collegial environment that's going on now. I
yes.
started in business long enough ago that if you were a woman and you made it, then the heck with everybody else. I'm here and you can figure it out on your
exactly.
own.
Exactly.
So, there wasn't a lot of women to women coaching or mentoring or any of those kinds of things. I think you just kind of had to fit in the box back then. So.
Right, and I think that's another great point. You know, so many women are realizing now that other women are going to become successful the more that you help them and can provide that mentorship.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we have so many great coaches in this room right now, because they recognize that that's important.
Right, exactly. So what role are you two ladies playing tonight, other than just hanging out with us?
So I'm actually a floater, which
that
is...
That sounds official.
I'm telling you, I've been doing my duties, keeping people stocked with water so that they can talk to all of these participants, and then just making sure that people, if they have any questions, sending them to the right areas, that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Well, you're an underwriter, so I think you're more important than being a water girl, right?
Well, hey, tonight I'm a water girl.
It's called entrepreneurship. You do
exactly.
what you got to do when it's got to be
Amen
done. Right?
Amen to that.
Exactly.
And Robin, what about you? Are you doing some of the coaching sessions?
Well, actually, yes. I came to meet some of the A staff for one thing. But
nice.
I was privileged to meet with, I don't know if I can name names
sure
or not.
Sure you
but
can.
Yeah,
we can say anything we want.
Susan Nethro is who I was very intrigued to meet, and I was privileged to be able to do that. She has a successful company in which she does intimate apparel,
mm-hmm.
and she's developed her company, and I really enjoy meeting other women, but I had some ideas because they have another aspect to their business, too, that
right.
I was interested in. So
they're involved in seed capital now. Seed.
Yes, I didn't know if I can mention that.
You can like, say anything okay. you want.
Okay. Well, come on down and buy some medical equipment today.
No. We go overseas. It's online,
okay.
so you never
exactly.
know
who's listening. Exactly. Yeah, we're local. But, no, yes, I'm really interested in that because of different ideas I have for my company beyond, like in terms of how I grow it next.
Right, right.
And since there is a limited amount of funding that ACE can do for what I have in mind,
right.
I'm seeking a little more guidance in how to make this a cookie-cutter concept, sort of like I did with Laser Ventures.
Interesting.
And implementing the same ethics and what separates our, I'm not touting my...
You form. Should. That's what you're here for.
Okay. But, you know, it's about, first of all, recognizing a need
mm-hmm.
and then being absolutely committed to providing that service.
Absolutely.
You know, with the diligence and the particulars and everything that's involved to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes our competition has been our best sales force.
Right.
Because they don't really care.
Right.
And if you really instill and prove that you're concerned about the well-being of your client
right.
or customer, and then that is like a partnership. You know, you look at your relationships as partnerships,
mm-hmm.
not as, you know, the customer. I mean, it becomes, you know, the details that are involved to making it all happen is what separates people that do really care
yes.
in business.
Yep.
There's a lot of apathy and indifference in the marketplace and in the service world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can show yes, you may not get, you know, recognized or touted for that in the beginning, and you have to pay a little more money to be able to be diligent.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs more to do the right thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you just keep doing that. You just keep plugging, and you just keep performing. And eventually, the opportunities open a little wider because you have now created value.
Right.
You know, value in not just the job itself, but what other things you can do. And this is coming to pass with our company now, that some of our accounts recognize the value of what all we've done and say, well, can you do this for us now? Can you do this for us now? Can you do this for us now?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know we're conscientious of costs that we can save and efficiencies right. we can create.
That's nice. It's important. You do business with a person generally, not with a company. So right. that's important that you keep that perspective.
And connecting the dots sometimes, you know, seems to be, especially in the healthcare arena,
right.
there's just so many things going on with changes
right.
and concerns and, you know, everything we can do to help save cost
right.
to those account, to those hospital systems, so that they can, you know, reutilize it in other ways and take things out that can be put into place instead of just, you know, no regard.
Yeah, that's I bet they love you for that.
Well, I love to be able to do it, honestly.
Great. What a great world it is, huh?
Yes.
It got really quiet in here all of a sudden. I wonder what's happening. Are we doing a lot of coaching or what's happening?
The bell rang.
I think the bell rang. Yes, the bell rang.
Well, thank you, ladies, for being with us tonight.
Thank
you
very much.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the evening. And, Courtney, I hope you keep the water flowing here.
I will. I hope they didn't get parched.
Could you give me a glass of water now, Courtney?
Yeah, sure. I can do that.
After she underwrites your loan, right?
Yeah, exactly. After she says yes.
Exactly.
Again.
I feel a pitch coming on here.
Oh, hey. We're ready.
Right. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.